you know, sharing the word of God with people. There's ministries out there that are helps. They focus on helps, and they're great at what they do. There's ministries out there that focus on the outlaw clubs and the one percenters. Chariots of Light, we like to say anybody, anywhere, anytime. We don't limit who we talk to. We'll talk to anybody that'll talk to us. We stick out that hand to God. And we believe when we stick that out, the Holy Spirit moves through that hand and touches that person. And it's really amazing. I mean, I would have never in my wildest dreams believed that I would be standing out in front of people, shaking hands and asking if they know where they're going when they die, if they know Jesus, what being a Christian means to them, who Jesus is to them. And you get all kinds of answers. And what we're finding out is a lot of people don't know. A lot of Christians, that, you know, people that call themselves Christians don't know who Jesus really is. They don't know what salvation really is. And it gives us opportunity to explain that to them. It gives them opportunity to make that decision for Christ and change their lives. And it changes the lives of us. I think I forgot your name. Yeah. Francis and Kenny. It happens. You know, to watch them changed. Nancy and Bruce, members of Chariots of Light, pastors, member of Chariots of Light, and Diana. You know, to watch the changes that happened to these folks as they get out and minister, doing things that they never thought they would ever do, is just so rewarding to see how God moves. And so that's my spiel. That's my infomercial about chariots. And I'm going to also give a message today. I've got some time. But if you'd like to partner with us, and there's benefit for you in partnering, you know, there's scripture that talks about partnership. You will be blessed by partnering with us. And if you'd like to give to Chariots of Light, you can see one of us that have a vest on today and give. You can give to Living Outreach Church with a little note in the memo for COL or Roll for Souls. Either way, you can get online and donate on at the national level, because that's where all the money for Rolls for Souls goes. And that's what pays for these outreaches and pays for our tent space and pays for, you know, getting our equipment where it needs to be. So anyway, that's my infomercial for this morning. Like I say, Chariots of Light has changed my life, and I know it's changed Francis and Kenny's lives and Nancy and Bruce. Just to see, I don't know what the numbers are this year. We do try to keep track of numbers, but really isn't about the numbers. But that's a way we can kind of gauge ourselves. Are we doing what we're supposed to do? And I think since Chariots of Light has been in operation, winning souls, there's over 130,000, 140,000 people have come to the Lord through this ministry. So it's a ministry where God's word goes out and does not return void. You know, so there's a harvest out there. And again, like Brother Bill said, this is an end times ministry. You know, you watch the way things are going in the world, and it just got to make you wonder what's next. And I'll talk about that a little bit too today. So anyway, that's what we do, and that's who we are. We pray with people. We share the gospel. And you know, like I say, some people don't know what the gospel is. You know, what is salvation? What all does the gospel of salvation entail? You know, hope, grace, faith, peace. You know, we try to help people understand those things because so many people don't know. I talked to kids last, just what was Hills Alive, 2 weeks ago. Young people coming in youth groups with church people. And you ask them these questions, and they don't know. But they want to know. They pray with us. They want to know. They're not being taught in so many places, in so many churches. It's a fun place to go to youth. We play games and we eat is the answer I get. And they don't know Jesus. And we prayed with at least 56 Decisions for Christ 2 weeks ago at Hills Alive, which is a Christian weekend concert. You know, and they don't know. They come for the entertainment. We prayed with another 60 people, just prayers, that people come and just ask for prayers. So, you know, people don't know what awaits them, you know, when they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, I'm a people watcher, and the Holy Spirit sometimes affords me to be able to see the hurt on people. And that prompts me to get up and stick that hand out and talk to people. And I think to myself, when I see so many people, and Christians too, I mean, it's not just the secular crowd out there, it's Christians, the hurt that's on them. And I think, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, God shows me things. God shows me these hurts and the needs and the futility that's in people's, you know, you can see it on their face and in their eyes. And they're going around trying to fill that futility up. They're trying to find something, you know. And the only thing they need is Jesus, you know. That's the only thing they need. And someone just needs to show it to them. Someone just needs to tell them about Jesus. You know, I see the world in chaos. I see our country right now divided, almost 50-50, you know, maybe worse than that. I don't know. But more and more God's being pushed out. And the division gets stronger and stronger, and we're getting further and further apart. Well, what's the word say? You know, a house divided can't stand. You know, I see fear in people. You know, what's the news? It's just nothing but fear-mongering. You know, I get tons of posts on my Facebook page, and a lot of them from other Christian guys and other Christian motorcycle ministries. And it's all fear-mongering. What are we afraid of? We got Jesus. You know, that's not how God intended it to be. You know, fear and futility, that separates us from God. When we're afraid, we're not trusting Him. We're not looking to Him. You know, we're not using what He's given us. And that's that confidence, that hope that He has through Christ Jesus. You know, what's the worst thing can happen to me? I die? I'm in the presence of the Lord. You know, you can't hurt me. No one can hurt any of you when you have Jesus, right? Like I say, God doesn't give that spirit of fear. You know, that's something Satan's putting on you. And what that does, like I say, it separates you from God. He wants you to doubt what you have. He knows He's already lost the battle. You've given your heart to the Lord. He knows He can't have you, but He can take away those things that God wants to give you. He can rob you of things that you should have. Your health, your finances, your marriages, your relationships. You know. Treasures in heaven. You know. That's what the Word talks about, putting up treasures in heaven. And He can rob you of those things if He gets the chance. But when you know who you are in Jesus, when you know who you have in Jesus, He can't do that to you. You know, when we're hurting, we tend to focus on the hurt. And we take our eyes off of God. You know, we've got to learn to trust. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to trust Him. The Word says, cast your cares on Him. You know, and that's what He wants. You know, I remember a few years ago, and Marge probably remembers too, my daughter and I had quite a time for a while. And I just dreaded when she called me because I knew it was going to be an issue. You know. I think the last time she called, we were in Oregon. And she called with some crazy issue. And, you know, and I could have sat and worried because she was definitely in danger. She could have been hurt. She could have been killed. Something terrible could have happened to her. And I said, God, you know what? I can't do anything about that other than give her to You. And I slept good that night. You know, I slept good that night because I give her to God. And you know what? She's safe now. She called me one day from far away. Dad, I need to know. I need to know where Mom is. Her mom passed away in 2000. I need to know where Mom is, and I need to know I can see her again. And she prayed a prayer of salvation with me. And her life is radically different now. She has a calm about her that she never had before. She's a very intense little girl. Not a little girl, she's a 31-year-old woman now. I still look at her as a little girl. You know, she's very intense. But she has a peace about her now. And she prays. And she's going to church. You know, she's married to a guy that grew up in church, a Christian guy. You know, Yeah, they still got work to do, but you know what? Her life is different because she accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And her life has peace in it because she accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know. Talking to people, I start talking like this to people, especially Christians, and they say, well, I already know that. I already know, you know, who Jesus is, and I already know who God is. I'm like, well, why aren't you using them? You know, why aren't you leaning on them? Why are you telling me all your fears and struggles? Why aren't you telling God? You know, Jesus gives us that access, you know. You know, I would guess if I would ask, and I don't want to know, you know, how many of you are going through stuff right now? Probably all of us are dealing with something. But how many of us are relying on the Lord for the answer? You know, how many of us are sitting here in fear and anxiety and dreading? You know, we shouldn't be. Because if we go to the Lord, He'll give us the answers. The answers are right in this book. You know. The point of my message, I think, this morning is about peace and knowing who we are and who Jesus is. You know, the Bible in Isaiah calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. And John the Baptist said when Jesus came, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And what he was saying was, the Prince of Peace is here. And you know what the kingdom of heaven is? Peace, righteousness, joy. That's what the Word says. The Word says it's not eating and drinking. It's not the things of the world. It's not the fleshly things. It's not the things that satisfy your flesh. But it's the peace and the righteousness and joy. And that's what Jesus was bringing. I'm just going to read this little bit out of my Bible. I've got a section in here called Kingdom Dynamics, and sometimes it really tells you some things. It really explains some things well. And so I'm going to read this. Declaring the kingdom at hand, that is drawing near, John was announcing the rule of God's king was about to overthrow the power and rule of all evil, both human and hellish. The kingdom was near because the king was near. And his presence, introducing the power of the kingdom of God, meant a new world of potential hope to mankind. Man would no longer need to be held hostage to either the rule of death over mankind, or sin, or deadening the rule of the oppressive human systems. You know, we're no longer held hostage to the political or otherwise systems that keep us down. The kingdom of darkness would be confronted, and the death, deprivation, disease, and destruction levied by satanic power would begin to be overthrown. That's what was happening when John said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus has arrived, and things are going to be different. You know, and that's what his ministry was about, was to show the love of God and to show people that if they'll just press into that, that they don't have to be under Satan's rule. They don't have to succumb to the fear and the pressure. They can have peace. You can have peace. You know, that's what the kingdom of God is, peace and righteousness and joy. You know, we pray that prayer. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I think about those kinds of things. What do you think it's like in heaven? You know, we sang a song this morning about heaven on earth. You know, how are we going to get heaven on earth? Through us. Through us showing the love of Jesus. Through us showing the peace that we have in Him. I mean, how are we going to witness to people if we're not walking in what He gave us? You know, somebody's going to look at a Christian that's over there crying and complaining. Why do I want to be like you? I'm already like you. Yeah. You know? You know? What hope is there? Well, there is hope there. You know, it's all right here. We have to find it. We got to be in the Word finding it. We got to be in the Word looking for it. We got to be looking for the answers. And they're there. God says, if you lack wisdom, just ask. I'll give it to you. You know, and He does. I don't know how many times when I'm dealing with something and I'm looking for answers, I flip on a radio and catch a sermon that addresses that issue. Or I'll just haphazardly open my Bible sometimes and boom, there it is. I mean, it happens so many times. It's really, you know, it's God. God speaking to me at answering the prayers. You know. The kingdom of heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, and I think about the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So we have the fruit of the Spirit in us. We've got to access it. We've got to access it. We've got to get confident in who we are in Christ. We've got to get confident in what He did, what He said. You know. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things that make for peace. Well, what are those things? Pursue the Holy Spirit. Pursue Jesus. Pursue the Prince of Peace. You know, that's where you'll find it. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. Again, He's already given it. You know, just like the Word says, God says, you know, I've given you a measure of faith. You've got a measure of faith to get started. When you receive Jesus, you receive a measure of faith. You had to have faith to receive Him. Use it. Grow it. You know. Make it real. Use that peace. You've already got it in you. Use that joy you already have in you. You know. And make it real. Make it real. You know. Word says, let not your heart be troubled. You know. We just got to learn to accept and to trust. And I think one of the biggest things is we got to be in the Word. You know, how are we going to get to know Jesus? How are we going to get to know what God's will is without being in the Word? You know, I can stand up here and I say all this nice stuff and then you leave. Do you remember everything I said? I'm not even going to remember everything I said. You know? But I could break out this book right here and be reading. And I'll remember. And I'll see it in black and white. And that sticks with me. And I can read it again and again and again. And every time I read it, I get something new and I get something more. There's no end to what He has for us. You can never know it all. You know. But you know what? You can know a lot. You can know a lot. And it's all right there. And it's in, well, this is a New King James. It's fairly easy to read. It's not meant to be hard, you know. But we got to spend time. We got to spend time with the Lord so that we know Him well enough to have that peace that I'm talking about. We got to spend time with the Lord and let Him show us what He can do. The more we depend on Him, the more we submit to Him, the more He can do, the more He will do. You know, when you cast your care on Him, don't take it back. You know, people have a bad habit of taking it right back. Cast it and let it go. You know, again, like I say, another quick little testimony just the other night. I don't know, what, about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. It was getting pretty late. Marge was coming home pretty late. And it was storming that night. I went to bed. I didn't wait up for her. You know, and I almost felt guilty for not waiting up for her. But why should I feel guilty? God will never leave us or forsake us. I knew He had her. I went to bed. I was sleeping when she got home. You know, and that wouldn't have been in the past. I would have stayed up till midnight if it took that long. And I'd have felt like crap the next day because I stayed up too late. And I'd have been worried and sick and restless and maybe even angry. Where you been? You didn't call me. You know, I knew where she was, that she didn't have to call me. But I went to bed. And I slept good. And she got home safe and sound, just like I knew she would. You know, God had her. And I'm getting better at that. You know, I can't say I go there first time every time. but I'm getting better at it. When I catch myself in fear, when I catch myself being anxious, you know, I'm like, oh, no, 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 Lord, that's not for me. It's not for you either, you know. Second Thessalonians 3:16, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in all things and in every way. And I was just pondering that a little bit. He's the Lord of peace. He himself gives you peace. And it's in all things. And it's in every way. All and every. I just think that's such a powerful little verse there. You know, just to think about that. There's nothing he wouldn't do for you to bring you peace and joy to your life. You know, he just wants you to be there and talk to him. He wants you to depend on him. He wants you to have a relationship. He wants you to know what he says in the Word. You know. The Word calls us peacemakers. You know, in Matthew in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Well, who's called the sons of God? Sons and daughters of God. People that receive Jesus. So you're born into a family of peacemakers. And I thought about this because, you know, you start talking about peacemakers and you think about conflict and resolution. And, yeah, that's part of what we do, you know. It's awesome when you can come in and talk to people that are in conflict and help resolve their issues in a godly way. But I thought to myself, you know, there's more to it than that. When people see me weathering a storm and I'm not getting spun up about it, they see the peace that's on me. And they wonder what I have that they don't. They wonder who I have that they don't. You know. And I get the opportunity to offer them Jesus. I'm being a peacemaker. Because I'm giving them the opportunity to have the peace in Christ. I'm giving them the opportunity to receive what I've received. And giving them the opportunity to know the one and only Lord. You know. Blessed are the peacemakers. You will be blessed, you know, when you share the Lord. I think about that a little bit too. I hear people talk about wanting to see the manifestations and work in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not going to happen unless you're sharing. You know, when you start sharing the Lord, things start happening. When you start sharing the Lord and you see somebody's life change right before your eyes, you see miracles happen with people being healed, people being delivered from all kinds of things. You see devils run, cast out. You can't do that unless you're sharing. You know, I see it every time. Every time we're with chariots at the ministry tents, I've seen crossed eyes go straight. I prayed with a lady 2 years ago. Last year we didn't have a ministry tent. We just worked the streets. But we had a tent the year before. And it was early in the morning. She came by on crutches. And I got to pray with her about healing. I saw her a bunch of times that day. And every day, time I saw her, she's carrying those crutches. You know, healed instantly. She didn't use them the rest of the day. She had to carry. She should have just thrown them in the bushes. They were probably expensive, so she carried them around with her. So, so you know, one other testimony: a little baby had club feet, I guess it was, and feet went straight and perfect right in front of us. You know, we've seen devils being cast out and people delivered from addiction right in front of us. It doesn't happen unless you're sharing. You know, that's where the real relationship really starts to manifest and show the power of God. That's where the Holy Spirit gets to work, you know, when we don't keep it to ourselves. I had a pretty good stack of papers here. I'm almost through it. You know, and Isaiah says, the work of righteousness, Isaiah 12:17, will be peace. What are we? The righteousness of Christ, right? And the effects of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. quietness and assurance. That sounds like peace to me. And it's forever. You know, it's not just for that moment. You know, I love the verse in Romans 3, I guess it starts. You know, tribulations happen. We know we're going to deal with stuff. But when we're patient to wait on Him, we gain an experience from Him. And that experience builds our character, and that character hope. And hope does not disappoint. You know. What is that hope? Our hope in Jesus. You know, God, Jesus, He can't lie. They just can't. So we have to believe. I mean, that's a strong word, I guess. We have to. No, we don't have to. You're depriving yourself if you don't. You know, and there's a lot of people out there depriving themselves, even Christians, like I say, that just won't spend the time in the Word to get to know what He has for them, or won't spend enough time in the Word to get to know who they really are and what God really thinks about them. You know, the Word says, when your ways pleases the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you. You know, there's another verse I'm thinking of about His favor surrounds us like a shield. You know, when we're walking with Him, we have favor. And we have a covering and we have a protection. Again, it all goes back to having peace in Him, knowing who we are and what we have. Like you say, I look at the world in the condition of fear and criticism, divisions. I think of the verses in 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to just turn to it real quick because I won't be able to repeat it without reading it. But this is what I'm talking about with end times ministry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. Only He, God, who now restrains, and I thought restrains, have you looked at the world lately? This is restrained. That's what the Word says. This is restrained. It hasn't busted loose yet, but it's coming. Because it says, until He is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. If this is restrained, what do you think it's going to be like? And every day you see on the news somebody else got told they can't talk about God, they can't talk about Jesus, they can't pray in His name. You can't bring it up in school, you can't bring it up at work. You know, you can't bring it up in the government. A lot of other things they bring up, I don't know why you can't bring up God, but you know, He's being moved out of the way. And one of these days He's going to say, fine. You know, the Word says He'll turn you over to your, oh, I forget the word now, but to your messed up thinking. He'll turn you over to it and let you have it. And when He does, literally all hell's going to break loose. You know, when I read verses like that, it just creates an urgency in me. I don't, you know, I've read the Bible. It's coming. There's nothing, I mean, we know that. I'm at peace with that. What I'm not at peace with, though, is there's a lot of people out there that need to know Him. And I just have this urgency. I feel this urgency inside me. And we all should feel it because we're all told, you know, right in the Word that we should be out there ministering. We all have a ministry. And we should be sharing the Word. And I have that urgency, you know, Sturgis coming up. We talk about everything that goes on up there. It's a crazy place. And there's a lot of unchristian-like things go on during rally week. And you know, I like to ask people, would you wear that t-shirt in your own town? Why are you wearing it in mine? But they do. And they say things and they do things that they don't do at home. But we're there to share the Word and to show them Jesus and show them a better way. And quite honestly, a lot of those people that come up here and act like that, I mean, they're not all one percenters. They get all wound up and want to party and they're just lost. They just don't know any better. As soon as you start talking about Jesus, you'll see people, you know, covering up what's on their shirt. pulling that skirt down just a little bit. You know, you see people change right in front of you because they know. They know. I mean, the Word says even the invisible attributes of nature, you know, God's invisible attributes are revealed in nature. You know, I think people know. They don't want, they just don't want to admit it, you know, because they want to justify their bad behavior. But you see, we call ourselves chariots of light. And we stand on the verse in Philippians 2:15 that we may be blameless, harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom we shine as lights in the world. That's for all of us, to be shining our lights in the world. But how are we going to do that if we're living in fear, if we're living in anxiety, if we're living, you know, oppressed? You know, how your light can't shine with a basket over it, right? Got to get that basket off of there. Let that light shine and let people see how Jesus is working in your life. And they see it. I mean, when the presence of the Lord is on you, people see it and they feel it. And the atmosphere around you is different. They might not know what it is, but they know there's something different there. You know, we got to let that light shine. We've got to have the presence on us. And the only way to do that is to know Him on an intimate level. You know, I go back up to the verse right above it. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. And then, like I say, verse, do all things without complaining and disputing or complaining and murmuring, that we may become blameless and harmless. You know, why are we complaining and murmuring? I think sometimes it's part of it's out of fear. Part of it's out of not having the hope. Part of it's out of jealousy. You know, somebody got something I don't have. That's fine. You know, there's a lot of reasons we complain. That's not a good witness. And, you know, people see a Christian complain. Well, everybody else is doing that too. So what makes you better than, what makes Christianity better? What makes Jesus better than what I already have? You know, Jesus is the hope of glory. And He is the Prince of Peace. And we need to be submitted. And I'm not just talking, you know, about submitting and saying, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. People like the idea of Savior, but they don't always like this idea of Him being Lord. That's where we give control over to Him. And let Him move in our lives and let Him speak to us and let Him change the things in our lives that are not good. You know, we have to submit and we have to be fully submitted. You know, and then there is no fear. And then there is no worry. Because we have that confidence in Him. You know, I was just watching Todd White this morning on TV, you know, and I don't know if anybody you know who Todd White is. He's so on fire. It's like Brother Bill up there. When you're around that guy, you just can't help but get spun up because he is so on fire for the Lord. And just listening to Todd talk about, you know, so what if somebody doesn't like me? I don't care. I love you anyway, you know. So what, you know, I do something and you don't like what I'm doing. I don't care. I love you anyway, you know. So what if it makes you nervous that I'm praying for somebody in Walmart? I don't care. I love you anyway, you know. God loves you, so why shouldn't I? You know, Jesus died for all of us. You know, we got to let go of the things that hold us back. And we got to submit. And we got to let that peace just reign in our hearts, you know. So, looks like that's all I have. Anyway, appreciate the time. I always appreciate when Pastor lets me up here. I'm not a preacher or pastor. I do call myself an evangelist because I do like to share the gospel and I do like to talk to people. But this, I do real good in front of my little group in Chariots of Light meetings. I don't get too nervous with that, but it's always different standing in front of a group and You know, I don't want to misspeak, so if I did misspeak, get in the Word and look it up. I didn't reference everything that I said. Look it up. You know, that's what you need to be doing anyway. And don't get hung up over a misspeak here and there. You hear a good pastor talking. We all misspeak sometimes, you know. Don't get hung up over that, you know, verbiage. Look it up. Find out for yourself. And praise God for the Lord working in your life. You know, pastor never likes to end a service without an offer for somebody to receive. And, you know, we've got a lot of visitors. So, you know, the question is everybody here a believer? You know? Everybody here have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is Jesus really your Lord and Savior, not just your Savior? You know, does anybody here have a calling on their heart that they haven't answered yet? You know, if you said no to either of those questions, or I don't know to any of those questions, you know, if you just want to get closer to the Lord, have the prayer team come up, Betsy and Jan and Marge, Kenny and Francis, you know, we'll pray with you. If you got something issue in your body, you need healing. You know, we want to pray with you. You want to receive the gifting of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, we want to pray with you. You know, if you just haven't answered that call yet, we want to pray with you. You know, so that's what I have. Appreciate y'all listening.